Hey guys, it's the Great Debates Podcast.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome to Short July.
Oh.
Is it Short July? High July?
Well, it's both Short July and Regular July.
Bummer,
July.
Bummer, it's July. July. It's July. We're in July.
Yeah, we're in July.
Fly July.
Oh.
It's nice. Could be. It's
might
flattering.
Stick. We'll see.
Let's see. It's no long June. You get one long June.
You get
in
one
lifetime.
Shot at this stuff.
Hey, my long June went out with a bang.
Yeah, I heard about that. Do you want to save it for host chat, though?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Let's jump right
remember,
into it.
Remember, we jump right into it with a micro here
it's
at the
been
Great
so
Debates.
Long.
I got to get a little timer going here, but I have a nice little top for us.
Let me guess. I'm taking the pro.
It's the summertime, and we're in the middle of wedding season.
Okay.
So the topic is Healy taking the pro. Not very life-affirming, but you're going to have to do it anyway. Enough with weddings.
Weddings are sexist. They are extravagant. They are ridiculous. They are an inconvenience to all of the guests. They are a source of stress for the bride. They are a problem for both families. They are a huge amount of money, a huge cost, perpetuated and expanded greatly by a very manipulative wedding industry. Enough. Enough with weddings. We've had thousands of years of weddings. We get it. Let's move on. It's time to get past this ritual.
What are you proposing we move on to? You have a better way of doing this?
Look, here's what I'll say.
Okay, yeah.
You don't like weddings? You don't have to go. Can I tell you
what's the problem? You do have to go.
Totally wrong. Here's one thing that's often an enormous relief to the bride and groom. Aunt Carol and Uncle Jake RSVP'd. They can't make it. Great. That opens up room at table six.
See, that's
we want to do that anyway. The wedding's going to be cheaper.
What other kind of event are you like having to invite people that you don't want to come? That stinks.
Well, if the bride and groom don't have to invite people they don't want to come, your problem here is that you're thinking about weddings by some sort of old rules where they have to be big and they have to be extravagant and they have to be unpleasant and they have to be stressful. No one's saying you have to have that kind of wedding. Yeah, maybe I guess I could kind of agree with enough of the old-fashioned gigantic weddings, but I got to tell you, actually, I've been to a couple of those and I've had the time of my life. When you get hundreds of people literally on the dance floor, there's kind of nothing like it. If you've got a great wedding band, even if you don't have even if it's just a DJ, I mean, these days you plug in your iPhone into a jam box and you got a party right there. It doesn't need to be expensive. It doesn't need to be extravagant. You could have a huge party that's a ton of fun. Weddings are fun. Also, people cry because they're beautiful. I mean, enough with weddings. How can you stand by this kind of thing, Healy? You believe in true love. You believe in... also, the idea that weddings themselves are sexist, I don't buy into. You could say that certain practices, like taking the man's name, is sexist, but I don't think the wedding itself is... What grounds do you have to say that
for? I think you've got the dad giving the daughter away.
You don't
She's
have to do that.
She's wearing a white dress.
She doesn't have to wear a white dress.
There's everybody's family there. It's just like a little
everybody's
bit...
Everybody's family. That makes it sexist
somehow? The whole design of a wedding is going back to a medieval thing where one family is basically auctioning off their virginal daughter to another family.
Yes,
probably getting paid to do it. That's the origin of this wedding tradition.
Yeah, we understand that. But
enough with wedding. Let's start a new thing where you have a 100-person dance party. Let's start new expressions.
Yeah, most weddings these days are basically 100-person dance parties. You're basically describing most weddings almost all weddings that I've been to in the last like 20 years. What was it, if you could sum it up in four words? 100-person dance party. That's basically what they are.
On the day
and
that
they're
you're
great.
About, on the day that you're about to go to a wedding, is your feeling? That's the timer.
Yeah,
respect for the timer.
Yeah, rare.
Very rare. Going with King here.
I think you have to.
I mean, you open strong.
I open strong. Yeah, I'll concede that one. King got psyched about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like a good wedding, man. It's a great time.
Could you have?
It's like a 100-person dance party.
It's basically
could you make a strong case against weddings? Did I leave out any arguments out? What?
It's tough. I was convinced. I did such a great job convincing myself that we haven't had enough weddings.
I mean, I think you're right. To a certain extent, they're inconvenient for the guests and everything, and they do cause a lot of stress.
Bride and groom will always tell you the happiest day they've ever had is the day after their wedding. They're like, it's done. It's over. We got it accomplished. Well, the guests find it a bit of an imposition. Usually, I would say if you polled wedding guests, 60% of them would rather not be there.
I had a period in my life where I went to maybe like 50 weddings within the space of 5 years. It was like a crazy number of weddings. And you just kind of get in the rhythm and you're seeing the same shit every day, everyone. And I kind of got bored of them and went to a lot of bad weddings and a lot of weddings I didn't really care about. But then lately, in the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, every wedding I've been to has been the best time.
I think like most people have kind of figured out what they want from a wedding and they execute it the way. I think most people have been liberated from the idea that like, we have to spend a ton of money and we have to invite everyone we know and we have to play certain songs and we have to, you know, adhere to these rituals. A lot of people just let a lot of those traditions go or do it their own way, or they make it more informal and everyone has a good time.
It might be that the badness, the stress, the logistical problem of putting together a wedding is a necessary ritual for the bride and groom to deal with.
This is something that you hear a couple newlyweds talk about often, is that it does serve as some sort of a baptism by fire or something, or sort of a litmus test of here's a massive event that you're going to have to plan. It's going to have high and low emotional, you know.
Your families are involved, money is involved, mountains. Sex is on the table.
Sex is on the table, and that always raises the stakes.
And it's so, sort of like the way that a presidential campaign is a tryout for being president.
It's almost a vetting of the relationship in a way.
I kind of feel like we should move bar mitzvahs, confirmations, that stuff up. Get rid of weddings and just have a new, basically when you're 20 to 25, you should be going to, like Dan's saying, an average of 10 a year massive orgy dance parties.
Okay, it sounds like you are subscribing to some sort of hedonistic religion that I'm not so sure I'm down with.
I think we're
sort of
moving in that direction, yeah.
I think you are.
Well, there could be a little religious service involved too to remind you of, you know, it's important to live your life in a good way.
And you believe that, and orgies are the best way, you're
saying? Well, the orgy, you know, that would just, that could happen or not happen.
I think we're in host chat.
Yeah, we're in deep in host chat. Dave?
Yeah?
Bud?
What?
Congratulations.
What?
Big day for you.
Thank you. What happened?
I know this was really important to you. You've been thinking about it for a long time, talking about it for a long time.
I don't know what you're referring to.
You don't? You surpassed me in Twitter followers.
Wow.
And you know
what
else? I got to give credit where credit's due. You did it as an unverified. Almost impossible.
Wow. Man.
What an underdog achievement.
What a bastard. You couldn't just let me have it. Look, the truth is obviously I don't care that much. Was I checking frequently? Yes. To see if I had passed you? Sure. Does that mean that I care? In my mind, no.
What do you think the secret was?
At what time did you pass heels?
I honestly don't know, but I think it was sometime in
the past. I bet you could get it down to 12 hours.
I bet you could get it down to a few hours.
I know there was sometime in the past week, but I don't know beyond that.
Okay, you were on vacation, though. That's
fair. Yeah, I was on vacation. But I do think that, because this did come up earlier, I didn't realize this was the road you're heading down, and you asked me, what was it that happened? Obviously, look, we're talking about, like, dozens of followers and not, like, thousands or millions, so this doesn't really matter. But I do think I was on vacation, I cleared my head, had a couple of winners, got some big RTs, got some followers, game over, baby.
You truly, first of all, game's far from over. I hope this is lifetime competition.
But I will say also that I will tweet about sports, and while that may turn some people off, it also kind of opens me up to an audience that you probably are not as open to.
Baseball season and tweeting during live sporting events is huge.
Yeah.
Because it's like people are watching TV, they're checking
the season. I think it's...
come on. You're tapping into that baseball audience. Those are people. Baseball's so boring that you're definitely looking at your Twitter while you're watching it.
I don't tweet about baseball that much.
All right, okay.
I mean, sorry, bud. Just get your facts straight. That's all I ask when you come into host chat. Get your facts straight. That's my one rule about host chat. I've told you this.
I think if we went through your Twitter feed, we'd find a decent amount of baseball content.
I now have 409 followers.
I mean, you should have more followers than anyone, I feel like.
Well, but when we started talking about this, I had 85, so I feel pretty good about it.
Hey, if you had to recommend a couple of Twitter people.
Great cue.
Because for my money, funniest tweeter that I know of is Owen Elixon.
Yeah, mm-hmm. by
he's
far.
He's at the letters O-N-L-X-N. And he's hysterical. I don't understand why everyone doesn't follow him. He's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, Twitter followers is not a good measure of how good you are at Twitter.
Exactly. No, well, also, there all. Seems to have been a thing where, like, you kind of had to be hot, like, a few years ago. I don't see people getting tens of thousands of followers rapidly anymore. Maybe I'm wrong. But I feel like there was a moment where you could become a kind of Twitter persona, and maybe, I don't know.
I like Florida Man. I think Florida Man's pretty funny.
I don't know Florida Man.
Florida Man is just like Florida Man blew his hand off with a firework.
Okay.
Florida Man was swallowed by a...
And it's real news story?
Yeah, Florida Man's good.
I think so. It's funny.
Healy, is there some like bullshit like U.S. Department of Interior or something that
there's
gets
a guy
you hard?
Who impersonates Richard Nixon. He's at Dick Nixon or at Dick underscore Nixon or something. And he's amazingly insightful about politics and intelligent, but writing in the voice of, like, okay. as if Dick Nixon were alive.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the guy who created it is a playwright or something. He's great. He's got a good take every day on what's going on in politics.
Samuel Pepys is good to follow, too.
Oh, I was into that for a while, yeah.
That's fun.
I don't know what that's
it's
about.
It's just, like, excerpts from the One Day at a Time of the Diary of Samuel Pepys.
Oh, okay. This is the guy. This is the marshmallow guy.
The marshmallow.
Samuel Pepys.
Yeah.
There's somebody who does like a sentence a day from Moby Dick, more or less a random. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's like you're like this book is obviously incredible.
Have you? I never read Moby Dick.
Moby Dick is I like a lot of those old books that people recommend are boring. You got to slog through them. Moby Dick has hundreds of pages that you have to slog through, but when it gets ripping good, it's incredibly great.
Wow. Maybe I'll do it this year.
Yeah, give it a try.
They should publish a new version of Moby Dick that has your what's it called on the,
a blurb
on the back says ripping good Steve Healy.
No, so when it gets ripping
when
good.
It gets ripping good it's ripping good at Healy Times. Is that what you are? I always forget.
You're at Healy Times. Yeah,
yeah, you know, look, I feel benevolent. I'm trying to get you more followers now that I'm crushing you so bad.
Hey, look, the pie gets I'm a believer in the theory of abundance. You know, the pie gets bigger for all of us.
That's right.
Yeah,
a rising Twitter tide raises all,
whatever.
Lifts all.
Main time, I think.
Well done.
Is what? It main event time?
Is it great debate time?
Oh, we should have top about ems. You don't want top about ems?
You, if you want it, what do you want to top about?
I got a good one to top about.
All right, we'll just top about a couple bottoms. No, top about ems.
This one came in.
You hate top about ems?
There's something about the phrase that isn't right to me.
Top about ems. It's everything about the phrase is perfectly right.
Well, that can't be true.
This one came in maybe from someone named Sam B, I think.
Samantha B? That's cool.
Or maybe Samuel B. We don't know. More people have 69 since 1969 than had 69 in all prior human history.
I'm going to say yes.
I would guess probably true.
Just a numbers game there.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice to run the math on that. How many millions of years do we have of human history?
You got to remember, like, even in the golden age of the Kama Sutra and stuff, in the high aristocracy when they were getting very sensual, most of the people were living in mud huts, scrapping out, you know, eating.
You don't think they figured that stuff out a long time ago?
I think they didn't have the time and the energy to be 69ing.
They were just casually walking around looking for nuts, as far as I know.
True.
A lot of time to kill.
But it takes a bit of improvisation.
There's so many places to put things.
Boredom until you get to the 69.
There's no television. I'm thinking you're making an argument for the.
Healy, would you be upset, flattered, or neither if you appeared on a show like 60 Minutes or something, a news magazine show of some kind, and you were interviewed for I don't know what purpose, but the chyron they used was Steve Healy, amateur sexual historian.
Okay. I would love that to be part of my resume.
This
except
is
for
it.
My only thing.
No, they're interviewing you about your latest book,
okay,
The Wonder Trail.
Yeah.
But the chyron says Steve Healy, amateur sexual historian. You get to hold up the book and everything.
I get to be on 60 Minutes holding up my book, The Wonder Trail.
Yes.
But are they going to say that I'm an amateur sexual historian? That's just what the thing
That's
says.
Just the chyron. It comes up casually in conversation.
I think it would just be confusing. I do like the idea of a game called, what was it called? Flattered, unflattered, or neither?
No, it was flattered, upset. I don't remember.
Flattered, upset, or neither. I'm going to go neither on that.
Yeah. Okay.
What?
I don't know. What do we do? Well, I don't know.
Can you think of another flattered, unflattered, or neither for us to play?
It wasn't unflattered.
Flattered, upset, or neither.
Flattered, upset, or neither. You want me to come up with another one right now?
Yeah.
You show up to work tomorrow.
Okay.
And you're like 10 minutes late.
Okay.
And when you walk into the room, mm-hmm. one of your coworkers mm-hmm. goes, "Oh, good. Healy's here. Healy, we were just talking about diseases."
Uh-huh.
"You would know this."
Uh-huh.
"Are you flattered, upset, or neither?"
What's the question?
Can you get... How do people actually get ringworm?
Great. I'm flattered.
Oh, okay.
All right. I've got another top to top about. I'm
okay,
sure.
Great.
Please, please, anything different than what we're doing.
The lake is a better summer destination than the beach. This is submitted by listener Andrew P.
Oh, that's great.
Andrew P., you are speaking my language. Yeah. I'm a huge lake guy.
You're a lake guy, right?
I'm a huge lake guy, and I assume by the beach he means the ocean beach, which is great. It has its merits.
Mm-hmm.
But man, the lake in the summer, you can't beat it, baby.
I tend to agree. Yeah. I think it's the lake.
We have in Massachusetts a whole other level, the pond.
We do.
Mm-hmm. Which is can be quite nice. Morse Pond.
I just spent 10 days on Sheep Pond in Cape Cod.
A pond.
But it's really a lake. It really is, I think, big enough to be a lake. I think it should be a lake, but it's called Sheep Pond. But man, you can't beat it down there. The water is clear. There's boats, but there aren't like gasoline boats out there.
Ooh, nice.
What are you going to do? You get so sandy and salty at the beach. What are you doing there?
Summer at the lake. Summer at the beach. Summer at the lake.
Come on, summer at the lake. Yeah. Definitely. More Even activities, peak. Really.
Great.
No sand.
I mean, I will say there's obviously something to the waves. To just stand in the waves at the ocean is incredibly...
The way that you sleep when the waves are crashing.
Ain't that the best? Ain't that the best?
I got another one. It's another summer top about them. This one from Zoe H. Summer birthdays are the best birthdays.
I have a summer birthday.
You do?
August 23rd.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And it's pretty fun. Yeah, I'd take it. I mean, you miss out when you're a kid in school.
Yeah, that's a problem.
You don't have and the big also, day where you're special at school.
That's a big con there.
You also, to the extent that you care about your birthday, you know, there's certainly more people on vacation, adults as well, in August. As in,
I'm away. I can't come to your thing.
Or just like you don't get to celebrate at work or whatever, which I would hate. But that
when's your birthday?
June 6th. I'm a late spring.
Summer.
Guy. Nope. Not. Summer-ish. Nope. Totally wrong. 100% wrong. What you just said. It is part of long June. It's not part of summer.
Right. Summer starts on the 21st.
Birthday.
Oh, in March. March 11th.
Ooh. Tough.
I don't think it's
great.
Summer birthday
great.
Is...
Spring birthday. Yeah, things are starting up. The blossoms are in spring, the trees. But... It's right. It's a winter birthday, I guess. Yeah. Almost.
I know what you mean, though. Feels like
spring feelings.
I don't think summer birthdays are better than non-summer birthdays. I think a fall birthday is the best season to have a birthday in.
Fall's nice. You know what might be nice about fall is if you're starting college and you have a birthday in like October or September, it can be one of the first parties ever.
That's great. You're going to be the most popular kid in your dorm.
You get your name out there.
It's a good way to establish a beachhead.
F entryway, you're all coming. Sandra's turning 19.
Sandra's turning 19. We're doing this thing where we go room to room and every room has to prepare a drink for her.
Every shot in every room.
Every shot's for Sandra.
Okay, cool. Pretty cool. Man.
This is my problem with top bottoms. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
A mini debate. It's not even a mini debate. It's just like... You know, it's a chance to hear what you guys think on these tops that we can't really get to.
What is our great debate today?
Well, I've got something.
Okay.
Okay.
This one's from listener Tom R. There are greater than 12 states worth visiting.
Okay. I'm ready.
Great. Healy, you're taking the pro.
Obviously. I mean, do you want to take the pro?
No.
Oh.
Okay. I mean, I kind of agree with the statement, but I wanted to argue the opposite.
Okay.
The con.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. The topic is there are greater than 12 states worth visiting. So I'm going to first start by coming up with states that I think are must visits. The Steve's must list. Texas. That's one. California. Two. Massachusetts. Three. New York, obviously. Hawaii. Maine. America's Vacation Land. Alaska. Pennsylvania. You got to see Independence Hall, the Liberty Bell, that stuff. Okay, now I'm going to say Virginia, Maryland. You can see either one of those. I think they cover a lot of the same ground, but you do have to go to one or the other because you're going to go to D.C. anyway.
All right, whatever. Keep going.
Okay, so that brings us to nine. Georgia. I think you've got to go to Georgia.
Why do you have to go? Whatever. Keep going.
Louisiana is 11. And Alaska. That's 12 right there.
Yeah. Greater
so
than.
I think you have to see all those. Well, then you have to see somewhere in the Great Plains. So let's say Montana. And yeah. Then I think you're probably missing out if you don't check out Ohio. You should see Chicago. That's in Illinois. And, of course, Las Vegas. That's in Nevada. I brought us up to 15 states. Counterattack.
Okay, so
I've made a strong case.
Here are some of the states that you don't need to see.
Well, we don't need to.
What?
Okay. You're gonna list 40 states we can skip?
No, I'm going to choose from your list and tell you. Calm down, man.
It's hard to stay calm in the heat of a debate.
You don't need to see Massachusetts and Maine. You can choose one of those.
No,
there's a reason they used to be the same state.
No. You need to see both.
How about this? I'll say this. You don't need to see New York, Massachusetts, and Maine.
What?
Because, I'm saying you could pick two out of those three. I would pick New York and Massachusetts. But you can go to New York and Maine. You could skip Massachusetts. You could go to Massachusetts and Maine. What are you going to see in those three states that you're not, you could easily see everything in the two of
Maine
those.
Maine is special. It's a special place. They have a special lifestyle. There are little fishing
villages.
It's
very similar to you could see stuff in Maine. You could easily skip Maine and get the same lifestyle in southern Alaska that you see in Maine.
Are you kidding me?
Small
dramatically different lifestyles. Dramatically
small
different
villages?
History development. Dramatically different geology.
Also,
there's
also small fishing foliage. Villages in New York. Yeah, you'll see the same foliage in Massachusetts that you would see in Maine.
I think you should also go to New Hampshire and Vermont.
No, that's you know now that you're trying to spike the football, and that's absurd. You don't need to see Maine, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Vermont. You also don't need to see Pennsylvania.
You've got to see Philadelphia. You have to go to Independence.
Why?
There are so many
historical.
That's where they have the Constitutional Convention.
Who cares?
Rocky,
have
all
you
that
been
fun
there?
Stuff.
It's boring.
Have a cheesesteak. Look, it's going to kill you. You're already in New York. Take the train.
Well, this isn't. It's not a question of convenience. It's like, are these worth? Are they deemed great enough to visit?
Yeah.
And the stuff. I mean, really, you really need to see where the Constitutional Convention was held. My God, if you're going to Massachusetts and New York, and I'll give you also California, because I had a similar list. I've got. Here are my first nine.
Okay.
California, New York, Alaska, Hawaii, Arizona. I've got Tennessee.
Arizona?
Yeah, because I think you need a certain amount of natural beauty. And if you go to Arizona, I don't think you need to go to basically Colorado, Utah, New Mexico, or Wyoming.
Wait, I'm sorry. You're saying Arizona covers Colorado?
Yeah. New Mexico, Wyoming, and Utah. It's in the land of natural beauty. It's incredible.
Okay.
By the way, you could choose Colorado instead of Arizona. I'd have no problem with that. Because then you'd get... you'd get Boulder, you'd get Denver, you could get a little more of a nice metropolis, but you'd also have the natural beauty of Colorado,
well,
which
you've
is
gotta
similar.
See the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, but you could see you don't have to see the Grand Canyon. I've been to the Grand Canyon. I actually think Bryce National Park is more spectacular than Grand Canyon.
Okay.
I think you could go to one of those and be fine.
Yeah.
Here are my other states. I've got Texas, Montana, and Illinois. That's only nine. I think
Louisiana
is disgusting. You absolutely can skip Louisiana. It's hot, it smells New Orleans.
You've got to see
hugely overrated. The only reason to go there, is to see how gross it is and to smell the humid stench of barf and beer.
Okay, well, let's pick like a random state that neither of us has mentioned, because we've gotten through, let's say, 20 or so states that are on the table.
Okay, Missouri.
So pick one. Okay, Missouri has the St. Louis Arch.
Yeah.
It's got Kansas City, one of the great barbecue capitals of the world.
Yeah. Do you really have to go there? Also, Jesse James. By the way, I mean, it's so funny because the first two things that you mentioned are actually... Well, the first one is visible from another state, and the second one is more celebrated in multiple other states. People don't say, you got to try that Missouri barbecue. They say you got to try either Texas barbecue, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee barbecue. All of those states are more known for their barbecue than Missouri and Kansas.
Okay, I'm saying if
you pick two places in your example.
That was your
my
example,
but you said pick a random one. You were like, Missouri, great. And you picked two things that were actually in other states, or at least enjoyable from other states.
Oh, you know what? It's worth going to Missouri.
Oh, I've got
to
backtrack and come up with something else.
No, it's worth it just to see the City Museum in St. Louis. One of the coolest,
Healy,
most wonderful places I've ever seen.
You've got to know that only 1 in 1,000 people are going to agree with you on that. This is like...
That 1 in 1,000 person that's been to the City Museum in St. Louis. I'd never heard of this place. I had to go to St. Louis for a wedding. I was like, who cares? St. Louis, whatever. They basically have an abandoned shoe factory that they've turned into just this enormous zone for children to scramble and climb and slide down and be the craziest kid fantasy you can possibly imagine.
Our listeners just tried to change the channel on the podcast from your description of that. They picked up a remote, their TV remote, because they were like, this is so boring.
What, hearing about a great place for kids to go?
They heard about an abandoned shoe factory with a slide, and they were like,
no,
that's
like,
exciting?
It's full of nets and climbing gear and all kinds of industrial crazy stuff. Plus, there's bars everywhere for parents. You can sit there getting wasted while your kid climbs around an old shoe factory.
You could do that in Tennessee, my sixth state. You could get hammered in Memphis. I mean, Tennessee, what a great pick. How
Tennessee
is that not
didn't
on
even
your
make
list?
My top 12.
It offers you such a variety of experiences within one state. That's why, you see,
I mean,
your
you're
problem
making
is,
the case for me. You keep adding new states that, and I'm
only
like,
up
yeah,
to
I
nine
agree.
States you have to see. I'll add Massachusetts as the 10th to mine.
Okay.
But there's no reason to see Maine, and I still don't agree with you on Pennsylvania, Georgia, or Louisiana. I don't think there's any reason to go
You've
to
got
those.
To see New Orleans.
Georgia? Georgia?
Okay, fine. I'll give you Tennessee for Georgia. I'm leaving Louisiana. Let's swap out Maine for Montana.
Okay.
We still got 12 states.
I'm up to 10. But I don't know. Okay, well, you first of all, you need a 13th because it's greater than 12. There are 50 states, and you're hard-pressed to come up with other states that are worth seeing.
Colorado.
Do you realize that? Again,
what about Yellowstone? You got to go up to Wyoming and see Yellowstone.
You don't have to go to Yellowstone. You can pick.
You don't have to go to Yellowstone?
You can pick one of the five. Utah, Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico, or whatever the fifth one is. Colorado or something. I'm confusing myself.
I think we're both just listing great states to visit. We're not really, the debate has kind of become untethered.
No, the debate has become a failure on your part to list more than 12 states that are worth seeing.
The failure,
you agree
the debate
with me on
has become a joyous proclamation
see.
Of how many states there are that are wonderful
to
visit.
I'm trying to prove you're missing my point. There's an enormous redundancy of states. The Colorado offers all of the marvels of, say, a Wyoming, but it also gives you beautiful metropolis like Denver.
Okay, but now you've not seen Yellowstone.
And you're fine.
What?
You're going to be fine.
Geysers shooting
Actually,
up out of the ground.
Is it part of Yellowstone in
Buffalo.
California?
Yellowstone?
But yeah.
Come on.
I don't know where it is.
It's in Wyoming. And part of it's in Montana.
Okay, great. Yeah. Part of it's Montana. We've got Montana on the list. So we saw Yellowstone.
Right,
Thank you for telling
whoa,
me where it was.
We
I
need
didn't
to
know.
Go down the list again.
So
Texas,
luckily you didn't miss Yellowstone.
Texas, you conceded. California, you conceded.
Yep.
Massachusetts, New York, Hawaii, Montana,
yep.
Alaska,
yep.
Pennsylvania, you're contending.
Pennsylvania
so let's
is
put
ridiculous. No, Colorado, not if you saw Arizona. You don't need to
we
see
We haven't even gone to Arizona
You know what?
Yet.
I'll swap out. I'll do this. I'll give you Colorado, but then I got to nix Arizona. Because
I'm not
going to... a waste. It's by the way, I only have 10. You want both of them? Fine. That's 11.
Okay. So we got Colorado and Arizona. Now Tennessee, which you fought for. That has me at 10, right?
Well, Tennessee negates Georgia. Once you've seen Tennessee...
Okay, I'm
you
willing to drop Georgia. Now, New Orleans... Louisiana. You gotta see. I mean, you have to see the Bayou country.
Why?
Because that's an important part of the American landscape. It doesn't exist anywhere else. We didn't even get to Florida, bro. You gotta go to Disney World. You have to see the Florida Keys. Disney World.
No, you said Disney World.
I said it because you maybe already went to Disneyland in California, but yes, Disney World is a whole other thing.
You went to Disneyland, and also you could have gone to 1,000 other theme parks in California and Tennessee and New York.
There's nothing like
and
Disney
Texas.
World.
Yeah, there is. It's called. You just said it's called Disneyland.
No, but they're whole different projects.
Also, by the way,
a different scale.
You could travel the world.
Magnitude.
You could go to Euro Disney. You could go to Disney China.
Come on, buddy.
What?
I have
Healy. You know when
I have you.
You know how you can tell when you're defeated is when you go, come on, buddy.
I have you basically you conceding 15 states you have to visit.
No, you don't.
You're trying to say, okay, we've gotten down to. You're stalled out at 11, so I need to get. Three more states.
Two
I'm
more.
Saying
Your
Louisiana,
math is terrible.
Alaska, and
I gave you Alaska. What was the last one?
Florida.
Florida's gross, man. You don't need to go there. If you've been to Texas, you've been. If you go to fucking Galveston, it's the same
Illinois.
As Orlando. They're the same city.
Illinois.
Yeah,
you had it on
Illinois
your
on here.
List.
Yeah, it's on my list.
It's got to be on here. So we're adding it to my list. Now
Illinois
we're at 12. So this debate is coming down to whether or not you need to go to Florida and Nevada.
Yeah, you don't need to go. If you've already gone to Arizona or Colorado, then you definitely don't need to go to Nevada. You
can, Las Vegas!
You can gamble in a number of these other states
come
now.
Come on, there's nothing like Vegas. You know that. You have to go and see it.
You really don't have to. You're probably better
you
off if you don't
have to do anything,
go.
But you have to.
Yeah. I think it's time for closing statements.
Let's just make the closing statements the lists of states.
All right. I'm gonna
I was going to say maybe we just make the closing statement just about Nevada.
Okay. I like that.
Do whatever you want, Healy.
Well, I should put out a list of, I think, 13 must-visit states.
Go ahead.
Texas.
One.
California.
Two.
Massachusetts.
Three.
New York.
Four.
Hawaii.
Five.
Montana.
Six.
Alaska.
Seven.
Colorado.
Eight.
Arizona.
Nine.
Tennessee. Louisiana.
Ten.
Illinois. Florida.
Ugh. I lost track.
I mean,
so
you
have any,
you
do you have any safety states?
I think Virginia's got to be on there. You have to see Virginia.
Okay.
I say I'm sticking with Maine. I think Maine's a special place. You got to go to Maine.
Mm-hmm.
I think that brings me to like 14, 15. Look, I mean,
right,
my desire is to see all the states, as you know, but I haven't gotten there yet. Working on it. Haven't seen one yet that disappointed me.
So of your list, the
North
ones
Dakota,
you don't
if you
need.
Don't make it to North Dakota, you'll survive.
Great. Of the ones you've mentioned, the ones you don't need to see are Arizona. You already saw the wonders of Colorado.
See,
you don't need
Canyon,
to.
Buddy.
Healy, this is your closing statement. There's plenty of wonders in Colorado that surpass the beauty of the Grand Canyon. The Grand Canyon's overrated. It is just as beautiful in pictures as it is in person. I've never believed anyone who said that you have to see it in person. Louisiana's disgusting. Most of it is hot and sweaty. And you can actually get the cuisine anywhere else. If you're going to Texas, you can actually see the bayou or that sort of part of the world. It's not going to cost you anything. Florida is also gross. There's no reason to go there. Disney World is basically the same as Disneyland, which is in California. Maine is basically the same as parts of New York, Massachusetts, California, I would even say, and Alaska, which you're already going to. Arguably also Hawaii, I would say, offers you a more enjoyable different kind of life than Maine does. Virginia, no reason to go to as long as you're going to, I would argue, New York and Illinois. You'll see better cities in both of those, and you'll also see better landscapes in places like Colorado and Hawaii. And also Tennessee will offer you more of a better taste of the variety of the mid-Atlantic, if you will, than Pennsylvania will. So that's why five of the states that you mentioned are totally superfluous. Again, that's Arizona, Louisiana, Florida, Maine, and Virginia. And there's only 10 states that are worth seeing. End of closing statement.
Medina. The floor is yours.
Pretty good. Pretty good teardown there at the end.
From Davis.
Yeah. I'm trying to see which ones I agree with. I'm going to cross this off. That was a good argument.
I'm making a list over here of states that didn't even get mentioned.
Well, that's on you.
This I agree with. So...
Keely, what are some, while Medina does his math,
What are some of your states that didn't get mentioned that you feel like should have been in the mix?
Well, I mean, Washington State is very cool.
Same as California.
There's a lot of awesome stuff in there. That's just not true, dude.
It's basically the average of California and Alaska, and you're hitting both of those.
But wouldn't you like to see the average of both of those places?
No,
see what comes up. Experience music.
I love not seeing the average of two states I've already seen.
I'd love to go to Arkansas and see the Bill Clinton Library.
I mean,
one of these days.
That's ridiculous.
New Jersey. I can't make a strong case for Jersey.
It's pretty there.
It's pretty.
Okay, yeah, we're just naming states now.
Yeah.
The thing that you sort of touched on that I would have dug a little further into is like you need a Great Plains state, I think.
Yeah, seeing because the Great Plains is cool.
Something very American about that.
Okay, I'm of Healy's original 13, Texas, California, Massachusetts, New York, Hawaii. What is this, Montana?
Yeah, what's we both Montana is stipulated. You have to see Montana for some reason.
Alaska made both lists very high up, which I thought was cool. Colorado, I'm crossing off Arizona. Keeping Tennessee, Louisiana, Illinois. I'm crossing off Florida.
Yeah. You don't think you need to see Florida?
No.
I mean, you can't really get a sense of what this country's like without seeing Florida.
You're probably right, but I haven't seen it, so
I've got to buy it. You're going to Texas. You're going to Texas. You're going to get a sense of what Florida's like.
That's different.
And then, but Nevada and Pennsylvania is the swing state.
You don't need Pennsylvania. You're going to New York and Illinois.
I know. So, we might be at 12.
Healy's argument comes down to you got to get a cheesesteak, a thing you can get in literally any other state.
Well, what
in the
about
country.
Illinois? You got to go to Chicago.
Yeah, you
it's
get a cheesesteak there.
It's still on your list. So I think I'm at, with Pennsylvania, Healy wins. Without Pennsylvania, Dave wins.
Well, wow. Listener decides.
Yeah, listeners decide. Guys, I hope that you're having a great summer vacation and that you're traveling to some of these states and seeing sights that you haven't seen. I certainly took a couple road trips already this summer, and I hope I get to take a few more. Anyway, have a great week. We'll see you in about a week. The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. Our audio engineer is Mackenzie Kellerman. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.